Now he's called to leave them. And we find here in verse 23, then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory which I saw by the river of Kebar, and I fell on my face. Now this matter of the glory of God will appear again and again in this book. What is glory, by the way? Several years ago, I got interested in that. What is glory? Well, somebody's going to say it's something you can't see, that it's intangible. Well, you're entirely wrong about that. Glory is something that produces a sensation on the five senses that we have, and it's something you can see, therefore. Now, glory has size. How big is glory? Is it long or square or round? How is it? Well, may I say to you, it has size, and the size of it's the infinity of space. Will you listen again to the Word of God? The heavens declare the glory of God. The glory of God is seen in this tremendous universe that you and I live in. Now, glory has a beauty to it. We're told in Scripture, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. Glory is beautiful. My heaven's going to be a beautiful place. How lovely it's going to be. And then it has to do with adornment. We read in Scripture, glorious in his apparel. That was in the Song of Solomon. Glorious in his apparel. That is, he's really dressed up. Lovely in the dress and the garb that is worn. That speaks of glory. And then there's a majesty about glory. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. It's the majesty of God. And it's bright and light, by the way. And it's precious and pure. You remember Daniel said something about, give thee a kingdom and power and strength and glory. And then it also sets forth honor and dignity. The very name of God suggests that, a dignity. That has to do with glory, by the way. Now he sees the glory of the Lord. And he is told, verse 24, then the Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet, spoke with me, and said unto me, go shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put cords upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. The average interpretation of that I've heard is that they bind him in order that they could take him out of the house, the enemy. But actually, that is what the enemy wanted to do. But he wanted to stay in the house, and therefore he would not go out, though they bound him. And he says, I'll make thy tongue cling to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and thou shalt be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. Now, instead of speaking a great deal, he's going to act out the parables that God gives him. And this, by the way, is one of them. Goes into his house, locks himself in. Why? To show that God has rejected this rebellious people. Verse 27, now God says, but when I speak unto thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Now, the thing that he's to say is this, thus saith the Lord God. And way back yonder in chapter 2, verse 7, thou shalt speak my words unto them. This man is to give God's word to these people. And that's the only time that he's to speak unto them. He's dumb at other times. He only had the word of God to give to them.